Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
You still have a chance at money. It's continuing through the end of this week. It's the KFI Cash Refill Contest. It's $1,000 up for grabs. Be listening for the keyword at around 2:20, then follow the instructions as to how to enter the keyword, and you could win the money. All right, well, a lot on the vagrant front coming up this hour. This story that NBC4 did, it was Joel Grover, and he's a good reporter, but he spoke to the mother. Remember last week, the story out of Sherman Oaks that someone had been run over and killed by a trash truck?
Mm-hmm.
And it was described as a homeless person. This mother of this man says, no way is he homeless. Well, we'll play the story and talk about it. And there's a possible lawsuit. Because when you hear about this person was sort of bundled up in blankets in an alleyway and apparently has major drug problems. And I don't know how you blame the trash collectors, but
well, you don't.
This is what this comes to.
You don't. But, people just file lawsuits and they try to win money. And
yeah.
And the city.
Why weren't you taking care of your son more? Really looking after him? Really making sure he wasn't on the streets with his opioid problem?
And the cities settle because it's not their money. It's tax money. So they make it go away rather than pay big legal bills.
We're going to begin, though, with Culver City. The Culver City Council voted last night to approve an ordinance that would ban camping on public streets. We're going to bring on Council Member Dan O'Brien to give us some more details behind this.
Dan, how are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. We're good. So what is the specifics of what you're banning and what's still going to be legal?
We're going off the heels of a lot of our other municipalities who already have no encampment ordinances on the books. We were one of the last local cities to not have that. And what it does is it makes it illegal to establish a shelter on public right-of-way, public spaces.
And this covers, I know there was a big controversy in Culver City not that long ago over a series of tents, encampments underneath an overpass, and I think your city was trying to build an abutment so that people could walk around the encampment rather than getting rid of it?
Yeah, that was the prior, so I was elected in November.
Right.
That happened last year prior to me being elected, where one of our streets that went under the 405 had a number of tents along there, and the sidewalk, I think it was only 5 feet wide. And one of our house residents who live right around the corner has a disability where his only way to get around is by a wheelchair. And it was a clear ADA violation. So the council at the time was considering, instead of enforcing or, you know, compelling these folks to leave that area, instead extending the sidewalk,
Yeah, wider out into the street so that the guy in the wheelchair could wheel around the encampment, but the encampment got priority over him, and this town was willing to spend money to accommodate the vagrants and their tents.
Yeah, that was the topic on the table for a while.
Yeah, so that's gone, that plan?
Yeah, there ended up being some... I don't know the exact details of it because I wasn't behind the scenes at the time, but it was determined to not be feasible. So instead, we enforced the ADA regulations.
I heard that, well, I read that some of your concerns is that since LA has declared a state of emergency on homelessness and is making a more concerned effort to get people out of encampments, that they'll just move into Culver City because you border LA.
Yeah, when Mayor Bass issued her emergency order in December, we were, you know, we're surrounded 360 degrees by Los Angeles, and there's many encampments on the borders of our city, which do also carry over into Culver City. But we were certainly concerned that if LA began enforcing their ordinances, those who are unhoused, who did not, you know, want to accept services, would simply move across the street instead of, you know, accepting those services.
This has really gotten bad over the last 6 years. Why now is the council finally banning these outdoor encampments? Why did it take so long?
Well, I think, you know, the prior council was strongly focused on long-term solutions, and you know, one of those is providing more housing and more affordable housing. But the problem is that in the meantime, we have a crisis on our hands, and we're, you know, expecting people to live in dangerous outdoor environments while we wait for long-term housing to be built. And myself and my colleagues believe that, you know, we can do both, and that's the direction we're going.
Let me ask you about this long-term housing idea.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a story, I don't know if you saw it the other day, that in downtown, one of these longtime homeless nonprofits for 30 years has been using all the money that they get a hold of, tax money and donations, and they were buying old buildings and they were turning them into residences for the homeless, right? Single residence occupancy accommodations. And they're going bankrupt now. And the main reason they're going bankrupt is the vagrants that they were giving shelter to would then destroy the place. And some people were destroying three of these over the course of their stay. They get one, they'd ruin it. They'd get a second one, they'd destroy it. They get a third one, they'd ruin that too. And now they're going bankrupt. Does anyone on the council worry that this is going to be a complete waste of time and money because the kind of people you're trying to house are just not capable of living peacefully like a normal person?
Sure. So I'm going to base, I don't know about the story that you're talking about, and I'm going to base my answer on what my experiences are. We've got two motels on Sepulveda near the 405 that we have purchased through a HomeKey grant program, and it's going to provide 73 rooms. Half of them are permanent supportive and the other half are transitional. And I visited another place like that in Baldwin Park with the same services management organization. And they've been up and running for about a year and a quarter when I visited them, and they had a great success rate. They had 88 rooms and they had gotten 18 people into permanent housing solutions. And, you know, my belief is if they were successful there, they could be successful in Culver City. And I think our, we have the benefit of being a small town. We're only 5 square miles, 40,000 people. Our homeless population, while it's a regional issue, we know those who are unhoused in our community by name, or our staff does. They've got continual outreach. So they're able, I think they're more able than Los Angeles is, just by the lack of sheer volume, to treat people where they're at, and they know what, whether or not a certain type of shelter is appropriate for a certain person's station in life, whether they've got mental health issues or substance abuse issues, or they're just simply on the streets because, their job doesn't pay enough money. I met a gentleman like that several weeks ago, who he's living in a tent and he has a job. So it's the whole range. And I think because we're small, we can be more tactical about it. And our staff has been great, and I really applaud him.
Now back to the ordinance. We're talking to Councilmember Dan O'Brien from Culver City. Is it worded in a way that you get around these court rulings where you can't just tell somebody that's, pitched a tent that they have to leave, or but you have to have shelter for them? How have you worded it?
Yeah. So, we've leaned on our city attorney, to ensure that we're fulfilling those guidelines. There's ordinances in place, and we asked our city staff to model ours after Santa Monica's. What we're doing with this ordinance isn't radical. It's something that most of the municipalities in our region are doing. It's getting a lot of attention, maybe because we're last. We can't compel a person to leave a public space, but we can, as long as we are providing shelter, tell them that they can't have a structure, a shelter structure on our public right of way.
All right. Councilmember Dan O'Brien, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Culver City, Councilmember Dan O'Brien. Coming up next, your chance at some money. It's the keyword, KFI Cash Refill Contest. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, listen to this. Beginning of the show, you said Dianne Feinstein announced that she is retiring.
Yeah.
Now, she's claiming she never put out a statement, and she was unaware her staff had put out a statement.
This story's everywhere today. Everywhere. What do you mean she's not?
Dianne
Feinstein. Are you kidding me? Well, this tells you all you need to know about the problem here.
Dianne Feinstein told reporters she had not released anything about retiring from Congress.
End of the Big Times website today, right now. End of an era. Senator Dianne Feinstein to retire at the end of current term. Exactly.
I don't. She doesn't remember.
See, this is a meltdown. Yep.
I haven't made that decision. I haven't released anything, she told reporters.
All right. It was a statement. What you're reading now, is that her voice or is that another statement?
She told reporters when she was asked. She said this.
All right, so this is vocal.
Vocal, yeah.
We got to get this audio.
When a staffer mentioned the earlier announcement, she then said, "You put out the statement? I didn't know they put it out."
Oh, no. This almost sounds like a joke. Are you reading from The Onion?
This really happened. They have photos.
What's the source of what you're reading right now? Give me the source.
It's the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail. Okay, because I'm not seeing this right now anywhere else. Let me just see if I can.
They have photos
right.
of her.
They jump on things quickly, the Daily Mail, and they're often right.
And she's.
Oh, here it is. Fox News, right. Feinstein reportedly unaware of her retirement announcement during reporter gaggle. Oh, get that audio, Ray. Find that audio. Asked by reporters about her announcement to resign, says, "If I haven't made that decision, I haven't released." Wait a minute. If I haven't made that decision, I haven't released anything.
Right.
A staffer then told the senator that a statement had been released. Feinstein said, "I didn't know they put that out."
Mm-hmm. That's right. And she stopped dyeing her hair, and she's got a lot of like gray roots coming out now.
Oh.
Doesn't look good.
But this is the reason she better just go away, because...
Well, but
they can't even figure out what's going on because she doesn't remember.
If you have dementia.
They probably said to her yesterday, we're going to release a statement that you are officially not running again. She probably nodded, mm-hmm. but doesn't remember any of that.
Right.
So the next day she's like, what?
And they could put it out again and she's not going to remember.
Yeah, because short-term memory is an issue. And we told you a couple of times they've been overheard, staffers and Feinstein, where she's been yelling at them, what bill? I didn't read any bill. But what are you talking about?
What they've got to do, everybody's got to stop protecting her because this is embarrassing to her, right? She had a very distinguished career, and all these sycophants, all her aides, and all the idiot reporters that always suck up to Democrat politicians in the state, tell the truth. You see it. All those reporters standing around her, they know that she lost her mind some time ago. All her aides do, too. And so do all the other senators and all the other staffers. Why don't you tell the truth to the public? Everybody, step forward. Do an intervention here. Stop it. Stop with your stupid protecting the senator routine.
So apparently a second reporter has corrected her reporting, saying it sounded like Feinstein said, I should have known they put it out, rather than I didn't know they put it out. See the difference there?
Yeah.
Sort of like the timing of it. I wasn't aware they already put it out.
But then she said, I haven't made that decision.
Yeah, she says, oh, no, I'm not announcing anything. I will one day. She said this in an interview an hour after her retirement was announced.
Well, it's going to change every hour because now she's not going to remember this particular encounter.
I feel bad about this. I mean, honestly.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They ought to come forward. Her family ought to come forward and say, you know what? We're going to take care of it.
But the tweet, her husband's still dead, right? So
yeah.
Who's going to? She's got kids, though, right? Adult children.
I don't know.
They need to step up and see if they can't help her out here. But if she doesn't remember things, it's like, yeah, you can convince her of something in an hour later. What?
But this
never said that.
This is, I think. The thing is,
she could, another hour or two from now, say, yes, I did retire.
I wonder if there's some kind of mechanism where someone is physically or mentally incapacitated that there's a way to remove them from office. Like, you know, they have that for the presidency. Yeah, they have the 25th Amendment.
There probably is for the Senate some sort of mechanism, right?
Yeah.
Incompetency.
And that's what they ought to do here.
No.
Because
otherwise, yeah, no, they should.
You know, it's going to be another almost 2 years of this.
No.
Just put her and Biden on a little bus.
Nah, I know.
But a couple of years, Biden's going to be doing this.
Probably, yeah. I mean, she's 89. He's 80.
Right.
He's catching up to her, yes.
But he's in worse shape than she was at 80.
Yeah, remember last year, even some of her own Senate colleagues were telling reporters sort of anonymously that...
Yeah, no, they're all cowards.
She's not there.
They've also got this weird religious protocol on how you treat politicians. Can you imagine the CEO of Disney, if he was acting like this? Do you think the board would be keeping him on?
Yeah, but it's just the Senate.
Yeah,
because your staff can keep up with the bills and hand out press releases and take care of everything. You know, I mean, we knew this with, who was the guy that lived to 100?
Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, right.
Same thing. Right.
He was pushing him around in his 90s. He didn't know what was going on.
No, they were pushing him around in a wheelchair. His head was bowed down. He was drooling on his shirt. And they'd roll him to where he sits and take his hand to hit a green button for yes and a red button for no on the vote.
All right, we got more coming up. We will play this story from NBC4 about a mother who looks like she may be leaning towards a lawsuit. Her son was run over by a garbage truck in Sherman Oaks, but her son was a homeless guy in the alleyway. She denies he's homeless. We'll give you all the details. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
So Dianne Feinstein or her staff sent out a release saying that she was not going to run for re-election in 2024. And then a little while ago, in talking to reporters, she insisted she made no such decision, and she was upset that her staff had put it out. We have audio that Eric has gotten, so let's see what happened.
Re-election.
Well, I haven't made that decision. I haven't released anything. It will be my plan. You put out the statement?
Yeah, we put out your statement.
I didn't know they put it out.
Okay.
So it is what it is. I think the time has come. I have a whole other year. I have things that are underway. I expect to achieve them. I hope.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
Okay.
Senator, when did you make your decision? I know you said it was going to take you some time.
Senator, we need to catch the train.
Yeah. Well, my husband has died, and that affected the decision.
Nope.
Can you make it this week?
It's a year. It's the end of next year.
Okay. I have a slightly different take on this. I'm not going to say she sounds incredibly lucid, but she doesn't sound that bad there. And what she's saying is they did draft a statement. I didn't know it went out already.
Well,
is that what, that's what I picked up from that audio.
Right.
That,
but the first line
that,
is
that she is stepping down, but didn't know they had already put it out.
First
not line, as bad a story as it sounded like. That's how I take it.
Well, the first line she says, I haven't made that decision.
Yeah, because she wanted to, because you don't want to get ahead of the press release. So
I see.
Her viewpoint there is, all right, we're going to do it tomorrow or next week. So if they ask me, I'll just say I haven't made that decision because the official statement isn't out yet. That's how I see it. I know I'm taking a lighter position on this than you are, but she didn't sound that bad there in that audio.
No, in that moment, but...
Correct. That's exactly how it works. Good days, bad days. Good minutes, bad minutes.
I've seen the audio where she asked the long-winded question at a hearing and got an answer, and then...
Oh, yeah, no, she's clearly in cognitive decline. Yeah. That's true. But there could have been some sort of misunderstanding, and maybe someone told her this morning we're putting out the statement, and she did forget that already.
Right.
But in her long-term memory, she knows there's a statement, and it's eventually going to go out, you see?
Right. Yeah, that's what I think happened, is she did make the decision, she agreed to put it out, and then she forgot she agreed to it.
And forgot that today might be the day.
Right.
So
I bet I looked it up.
My guess is she's done, and I think that we won't hear much else.
It turns out that there is no way to remove a member of Congress if they become incapacitated.
Hmm.
There's
a way to remove the president, but not a member of Congress.
Right.
Ah.
And that amendment to remove a president is fairly recent. It was, I think, 1967 after the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they added some amendments to... controlling the presidential term.
Because it was always coming up during Trump's time.
yeah. But the history of this, there was a senator of North Dakota, Carl Mundt. He suffered a stroke and never showed up at the Senate for the last 3 years of his term. And
that's happened in the past couple of years. A couple of senators had strokes.
Yeah. Senator Carter Glass of Virginia got sick and for 2 years didn't show up. Citizens of Virginia even petitioned courts to remove Glass from his seat, but the court refused to take action because there is no law about it. And a sitting member of Congress has never been removed from office due to incapacitation. The law doesn't exist. So,
all right, we move over to this story from NBC4's I-Team and Joel Grover. We told you that a lot of homeless people have been dying in Sherman Oaks. This is Nithya Raman's district. Was it four bodies, I think, have been found?
Four bodies.
One of the most recent ones was a guy that was hit by a L.A. sanitation trash truck. But it isn't like he was standing in the road or crossing the street. He was bundled up in a bunch of blankets in what appears to be an alleyway, and the trash truck backed over him. People did not know that there was a person. I'm sure there are times you have walked past a sidewalk or a park or somewhere, and there's just a bundle of clothes or blankets, and you can't tell if there's somebody under there.
Oh, on Santa Monica Beach frequently. I've seen that.
Yeah. You can't. It might be somebody left something behind,
right,
whether in the water.
Can't tell if it's rubble or a person.
So, and this happens from time to time. Remember it happened up in the Sacramento area where apparently they were trying to clean up an encampment, and there was still a woman wrapped up in blankets in there, and she died. This interview and this story, it's sad. It's the man's mother. But this looks like the precursor to a possible lawsuit, which we object to. Let's play the story.
A grieving mother places flowers on a memorial to her 35-year-old son, hit and killed in this alley by this City of LA garbage truck last month.
And the day that he died, a piece of me died. I cannot explain the pain.
Sarah Terrell is talking about her son, David, who on the day of the accident was described as a homeless man by city officials. But his mother says that label is not accurate.
You don't consider that your son was homeless?
No, I don't consider him being homeless. I consider him a person struggling
with drug addiction.
Sarah told me the addiction started in high school. David was a baseball player, but above all, a skateboarder. So accomplished, he got sponsorships.
David was passionate about skateboarding. David had goals. David was an intelligent kid.
But she says her son had 4 skateboarding accidents where he broke bones.
1 year was a risk. Next time it was the ankle.
And each time was given opioid painkillers.
Doctors prescribed the pills.
And he got addicted to them.
Yes.
Sarah says that led to other drugs, including marijuana, heroin, and fentanyl. She says David worked in the entertainment industry and was recently living with family in this home in San Fernando, but was still struggling with addiction.
It appeared that whenever he'd go on his addiction trips, he wouldn't want to be around family. So he'd disappear.
Like in the early morning hours of January 25th, a security camera recorded David on the sidewalk, apparently high, outside a friend's apartment on Burbank Boulevard in Sherman Oaks.
Sometimes we're out here walking our dog.
Neighbors say the alley behind the apartment is a place where people stroll with their kids and walk their dogs, and cars often have to drive around people.
Show me where you saw him.
This neighbor told me she saw something in the middle of the alley around 11 a.m. in this spot where David was hit.
You saw him right here.
Kind of like across here, but I didn't see him. I saw blankets.
20 minutes later, 2 other neighbors who asked us not to show their faces say they saw David sitting in the middle of the alley.
I can clearly see there is a person.
You could clearly see it was a person.
I can clearly see there is a person.
Minutes later, this city garbage truck drove through the alley to empty these cans and ran over David Terrell. Even though the truck had 5 cameras on it, including one in the front and one in the back, according to the Department of Sanitation.
I will think anybody who would drive into the alley will see him.
These women say they told LAPD officers on the scene what they saw.
Did the cops take a statement from you?
Nope.
The LAPD told us it did interview 2 witnesses and the driver, who provided a chemical sample, was not impaired, and there are no criminal charges anticipated. The I-team learned there had been 5 fatal accidents involving LA City trash trucks in the last decade, like this one in December in San Pedro, where a sanitation truck hit and killed a pedestrian. And the I-team has previously reported there have been hit and runs, like this one where an LA garbage truck backed into a parked car, dented and scratched it, and then took off. The sanitation department says that truck driver is now in the disciplinary process.
I can't let his death go in vain.
Sarah Terrell wants to know why that garbage truck hit and then rolled over her son in broad daylight, crushing him, she says, to the point he was unrecognizable. The sanitation department says it can't comment on the driver while there's an ongoing investigation. Sarah plans to file a wrongful death claim against the city in the coming days.
He was a human being, and no mother should have to bury their kids, and nobody should ever go through the pain that I'm going through.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
Oh,
that's from NBC4 and Joel Grover. Look, you're going to sleep under a pile of blankets. You're going to pass out in an alleyway, which is a thoroughfare for trucks, and trucks are difficult to maneuver. Are you kidding me? Are we now in the age where wherever they go, these truck drivers are going to have to get out, inspect everything, push the blankets aside, make sure there's nobody? I mean, are you kidding me? This is what tolerance gets you.
Yeah. Mom is trying to make it sound like the truck driver's responsible. Your son's responsible. He's the one who chose to lay out under blankets in the alleyway. And if you're worried about him, then you should be making sure he gets home every night.
And think about this, too. A skateboarding career that led to broken bones, that led to opioid abuse. I mean, honestly.
Look, in our family, there's been some broken bones and surgeries, and opioids were prescribed a couple of times. You have to be on that like a hawk. And you could only take the opioids for a few days, period. And then after that, you got to suck it up. Period. I mean, because if you take them for even a week, you'll start getting addicted. And that's the way that works.
And who knows? This guy probably got it off the street. It could have fentanyl in it, making it even more dangerous and worse for you.
I mean, you just can't have it both ways. Skateboarding is not a life. If you go through 4 injuries, and now you're drug addicted, and you don't control the drug addiction, and then you let the guy sleep in the alleyway, and now you're going to ruin this truck driver's life. I just really, you know what?
Taxpayers pay up is what she wants.
Yeah, the taxpayers have to pay. The truck driver's life is going to be turned upside down. In a normal civilized city, which we used to have, what would happen is all these witnesses, all these neighbors would say, hey, there's a guy sleeping in the street or he's standing in traffic. And the police would come and take him away and they'd lock him in like some kind of mental health clinic until they could figure out what to do. That's what a normal, intelligent society would do. That's what compassion is. You take the guy off the street by force, and then you put him in a mental health clinic and see what you could do for treatment. But in this city, under Garcetti and now under Karen Bass, the police don't show up to do anything productive. And then everybody else is going to get sued and blamed. That is BS.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the Michigan State University campus shooting. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right, there was a shooting that unfolded last night on the campus of Michigan State University. We will get the details from Alex Stone after the news at 3 o'clock. And of course, what I heard immediately this morning, everyone's looking for a motive. What is the modus of reasons for this horrible shooting?
What is this motive obsession? Why is that the first question?
People want to understand why this could happen. What would happen to a person to do this?
Is that true? Nobody I know says that. Everybody I know just assumes it's another lunatic with a gun got loose.
There's always a part of me that says everybody should stop covering these stories because it just promotes the next person into thinking, okay, I can go out with a blaze of glory.
Oh, I agree.
Half these guys, it seems, kill themselves. The other half get caught, taken into custody.
But, again, they had this guy on a gun charge a few years ago, and they didn't give him any jail time. So,
his father speaking out. He mentally unwound a few years back.
That's right. Okay. Mental case, was charged with a felony involving a gun, not given prison. Hey, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen? There was no punishment for having the gun the first time, and he's out of his mind.
We are faced with an overwhelming mental health crisis in this country now. It explains the homeless problem. It explains some of the shootings. There's not enough services to take care of these people. There's not enough laws to compel these people into getting services.
That's true, too.
I know. And they're probably both true.
And there's no desire to pass a law to force them in.
Right. Instead, let's get all the guns. That's all we got.
Yeah.
Remove all the guns. No one can shoot each other.
Because yelling about guns gets you fundraising money. Yelling at a mental illness gets no fundraising money. People aren't passionate about that.
No, and of course, if you fund mental illness, then you've got to compel people into mental illness treatment. See, these two things, they look like it's just, we can't get over those fences. We can't get there.
I just found an article. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
And a lot of people don't want to work in mental health field. Considering the shakeup that happened during the pandemic where so many people quit like their restaurant jobs, a lot of people quit these kind of jobs too. Well, they don't want to deal with this. It's stressful to work in mental health. It must be.
If they actually built all the clinics and hospitals they need, there'd be nobody to staff them. You couldn't pay enough money to get a qualified staff. It would be impossible to find enough tax money for that. That's why it's never going to be done. This is not work anybody wants to do. I wouldn't want to do it. Actually, I'd rather live in a tent than be locked up with mental patients, trying to force medication on them every day. There's got to be a better way. Just one other thing, and maybe we'll get to this tomorrow because I found a story put out by Kaiser Health News. Kaiser has its own news service now.
Yes, I have seen those stories.
Right.
Yes.
And it's about how's Newsom going to run for president with the homeless situation so out of control? And where he kind of admits that nobody really knows what to do because you can't force people into treatment. You can't force them to take medication. You can't get them engaged. They don't even want to hear about it.
And as I just said, I'm not sure there is enough mental health care treatment out there.
No.
Even if you got them all into it, who's going to do this? Right? That's going to take a real, I hate to say funding, but a recruitment effort is really what it's going to take.
I don't know. I don't know how that conversation goes where you talk somebody into taking care of mental patients for the rest of their life.
Even if
you did, they'd probably quit in 2 years.
There is a shocking sort of development in a story we've been covering. The radiologist from Pasadena by the name of Dharmesh Patel, who was up with his family on a trip in Northern California, drove his Tesla off a cliff with his wife and their two kids inside. Remember that story? Remarkably, they all survived, even though they call that Devil's Slide, where a few people that drive off that PCH section live. Apparently, when the paramedics got there, the wife was screaming, he's trying to kill us all. Here's the shocking new development. She does not want him to be charged.
Because
apparently, from what we understand, Ms. Patel, her name is Neha, has told, I guess, investigators or prosecutors, she does not want her husband to be prosecuted.
It's not her call.
That's true. They can still do it anyway, which happens in a lot of domestic violence cases.
We had that story earlier this week. I don't think we did it on the air in Oakland about there was some killer up there and the family was forgiving the killer.
A woman that was owned a bakery was murdered. She got dragged after they stole like her purse or her. Yeah.
Right.
And she held onto the car and the thieves dragged her and she died.
And all her progressive woke family members don't want the guy incarcerated. It's not up to you. When they file a felony murder case, the case is entitled The People versus Blank. The people versus
But they need the witnesses to make the case stronger, right?
Well, you do. That helps. But it's not a civil case where the family is trying to put the killer in jail or the wife is trying to put the killer in jail. It's the people of California that are trying to put the killer in jail. And part of the reason is to keep the killer from killing anybody else because clearly he's violent and out of his mind. So it's not your call. It doesn't matter if you, I forgive. It's like, that's great. You know, you go take that to church and you can go forgive. But the rest of us want killers put away for life.
All right. When we return, it's the gunman at Michigan State. He opened fire last night, killed three, wounded five more before he killed himself. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, has all the latest. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.